On the Moving Icon, host Chris Vlachonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
And welcome to another episode of Moving Icon. I am your host, Chris Vlachonasios, media writer, founder of the Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists blog. Today I'm speaking with Brian Wurlidge from Indiana. A convert to Orthodoxy, Brian is an artist and high school arts teacher, but also an iconographer and a psartist from his local church. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your family background, because it sounds very much like the all-American childhood.
Yes, it really was the all-American childhood. I grew up on the family farm in the very same house where my grandfather was born and grew up. So I grew up hearing all sorts of stories about what happened in this room or that room, how he used to sleep by the wood stove. It was warm. So all these good stories. This farm has been in the family for nearly 100 years, and I'll be the fourth generation to work on it. My father is an ordained minister in the United Methodist Church, as well as a farmer, and my mother is a nurse. And when I was growing up, both sets of my grandparents lived within a half mile of our house. So I'm very blessed to have a close family, and I have a very strong sense of place. And I'm looking forward to working the same land as my ancestors and then eventually passing it along to my descendants.
Now, that sounds really fascinating, really amazing background. Now, from a very young age, you always wanted to be an artist, but what were some of your influences and some of the inspirations that helped shape your artistic direction?
Yeah, you're right. I've always been creative. When I was a little boy, Legos were my favorite toy. On the farm, we have a lot of clay in the soil. So I would dig up the clay, and I would shape little things, little animals or little cups or bowls, and I would set them out in the sun to dry. So I've always loved working with clay, but it actually wasn't until I went to college at Indiana Wesleyan University that I received formal training in ceramics. And there, I learned to throw on the potter's wheel. Now, fortunately, in my town, Goshen, Indiana, we have a lot of potters. And during college in the summers, I had the privilege of working with an internationally renowned potter named Dick Lehman. Now, as far as two-dimensional art, again, I was always drawing and doodling. My high school art teacher really helped me refine my skills and really pushed me to study art in college. When I was in college, I met a dear friend, Kevin McCarty. He was a lifelong painter who had lost his eyes to cancer. He had attended Indiana Wesleyan years earlier, and he still lived and painted in the area. Our professor brought him in one to speak about his life. Through painting, he wrestled through life's big questions, which eventually led him to the Orthodox Church. Kevin was a major influence in my own conversion, and he eventually became my godfather. He encouraged me greatly, first as a Christian, and second as an artist. Now, as a painter, Kevin's eyes were his most valuable asset, and when he lost his eyes to cancer, it was totally life-changing. Now, he didn't so much lose his eyes as he gave them to Christ. It was his way to deny himself and take up his cross. He spent his last few years almost as a hermit praying the Jesus prayer before he reposed during Holy Week of 2008. In his own words, "Where my eyes once were, now I only see the name of Jesus." So those are my artistic influences, and I think, you know, the most inspirational was my godfather, Kevin.
You're so fortunate to have met someone as special as Kevin.
Yes, I really, it was really amazing.
But what would you describe as some of the subject matters that interest you the most?
As a potter, I like to make functional things. I really like art that has a purpose and a function, an art that has a context. I guess I kind of stray away from sculptural work and lean more towards functional day-to-day use like mugs and bowls and plates. And I really enjoy eating off my own plates and, sharing that with other people so they can enjoy that too. As far as two-dimensional art, I've really worked almost exclusively with icons for the past 6 or 7 years. A lot of that has to do with being Orthodox, and my iconography was a really natural and organic way for me to express my faith and to live out my faith.
As already mentioned, you converted in college, but your actual first encounter with Orthodoxy was on a family trip to the Holy Land. Can you tell us a little bit about this life-changing trip, and what did you experience there, and what actually made the biggest impression on you?
Yeah, when I was in high school, my family took a trip to the Holy Land. Now, I was Protestant at the time, and experiencing the Orthodox churches for the first time was really overwhelming. The first Orthodox church I ever entered was the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And if you know a little bit about this church, it has a very tiny little door, so you're basically crawling through this tiny door, and it opens up into this ancient basilica with all these lampadas, and there's a golden iconostasis, and then you venture up and then follow these marble steps that are so old that thousands and thousands of pilgrims have just smoothed and polished these marble steps and descend down into the cave where Christ was born. So that was my very first experience in an Orthodox church. My second experience in an Orthodox church was a few days later in Jerusalem when we visited the Church of the Resurrection, where I saw our Lord's tomb and the Golgotha and the unction stone. And I saw all these wonderful places where our faith began and where our Lord walked. Now, growing up as a Protestant, I really didn't have any context, and I was really overwhelmed about what to think, other than these churches were totally different than anything I'd ever seen before. Smell creates incredibly strong memories, so perhaps the incense stuck with me the most, but that was not the only big impression. The other impressions were the icons, many covered in gold and silver, like I said, in the church in Bethlehem, the hanging lampadas everywhere. The air was thick with incense, and the marble floors were just polished smooth from the centuries and centuries of pilgrims. Generally, I guess I was impressed by the antiquity and holiness of these churches. You know, they were certainly very special places. Unfortunately, at the time, I saw these things somewhat cynically, asking myself questions. So how did they know that this was really the place where this happened? And I guess my first impression was, I guess I saw these churches more as museums and less as, actual churches where people go and pray. And it didn't even cross my mind at all that there might be Orthodox churches over here in America, let alone, just a few miles down the road from my farm where I grew up. 5 years later, after this experience, it kind of set me searching. But 5 years later, when I walked into St. Mary's Antiochian Orthodox Church, which is actually just a few miles down the road from my parents' farm, when I set foot into St. Mary's, it was like stepping back into Jerusalem. When I opened the door and the incense hit me, it was the exact same kind of incense, and I saw the icons and the lampadas, and I knew, this is it.
Now, that's remarkable insight. For people such as myself who are cradle Orthodox, I can't even begin to fathom what it must have felt like, both the first time you walked into the Orthodox Church and when you came back to America, but that is really remarkable insight. And would you say that the sole reason why you re-examined your faith was due to the artistic expression of Orthodoxy?
I think the artistic expression came later. Initially, after my trip to the Holy Land, it really shook me up. and made me realize there's a lot more to Christianity than Protestantism and what I had grown up with. So sometime after returning from the Holy Land, I began kind of asking some big questions, such as, why are there so many different denominations, and who is right? And they all had to come from somewhere, so what was the early church like? And how did the early church believe? How did she worship? And most importantly, does the early church still exist? So through college, I was kind of struggling through all of these questions, and eventually I came to Orthodoxy, and Orthodoxy answered all of these questions. Now, once I was introduced to Orthodoxy, it really harmonized with my experience as an artist, especially how important the church places images, and how, as an artist, I would have a very practical way for me to process my faith and to work out my salvation.
What would you describe as some of the biggest challenges personally when you were converting to Orthodoxy?
Well, my biggest challenge was just overcoming my initial misconceptions. Like I said, my first impression was almost like these churches were like museums. When I started attending the Orthodox Church regularly, and when I met people like Kevin, that really helped me to change my notion that these are very living places and active places full of life and full of people who are making great spiritual progress. There were some other Protestant beliefs that I had to overcome, such as Protestants insist in rejecting tradition and using only the Bible. And there's also a Protestant dismissal of liturgical worship that I had to overcome. And now I love the liturgy and love tradition. So there are a few things like that I had to overcome.
And you've overcome them, and you're still here, I suppose.
I am, thank God, by the grace of God, yes.
Now, upon converting, you were actually blessed to learn the art of iconography in the USA. However, you were then awarded a scholarship to learn the art and also chanting, but then involved going to Greece. Can you tell us a bit about that experience?
Well, in 2012, I won a grant from the Lilly Endowment, and it basically gives public school teachers a sabbatical over the summer. So I wrote my grant to study the Orthodox liturgical arts of icon painting and Byzantine chant. So I guess to take a step backwards, when I converted, I also have a musical background. So when I converted and started attending the church, I was quickly recruited to help sing in the choir. And from there, I started to learn Byzantine chant. So I have this this love of singing and painting. So through this grant, I was able to live and study in Athens with Dr. Ioannis Arvanites for 6 weeks. And there I began to learn the oral traditions of singing Byzantine music and from reading the Byzantine notation. When I was there, I was privileged to sing with the choir at Agia Erdini Aiolou with Lycurgos Angelopoulos, and I experienced some of the best Byzantine singing in the world. Also, when I was in Greece, of course I had to visit an island, so I spent a few days at Naxos, and that was from what most people recommended, and it was amazing. It was great. I also had the opportunity to visit Agion Oros, but that was only for a day. So if I could do it again, I would plan more time at the Holy Mountain. Now, after 6 weeks in Greece studying the music, I returned to the States, where I worked with Tom Clark on a project he was working on at Archangel Michael Greek Orthodox Church on Long Island, New York. Now, Tom lives in Athens, but does most of his work in America. So that's why it was more convenient for me to work with him here. And I helped him apply gold leaf on the apse around the Panagia Platitera. And so we spent many, many long days on the scaffolding applying the gold leaf. And I painted some borders while Tom painted the angels and worked on the Panagia. And so I learned a tremendous amount of icon painting just working closely with Tom during that summer.
And when you were in Greece, what were some of the best icons you saw, and whereabouts were they?
There's so much great iconography all throughout Greece, both contemporary icons and ancient icons. My apartment was on Ermu in Athens, and I was just a block from Kapnikaria, which Kondoglou painted, and that was amazing just to go in there, in this tiny little church, and pray and admire the icons. Now, I was also very close to the Byzantine Museum, which has a great collection of panel icons. I was able to visit Daphne Monastery and see the mosaics there. I guess the thing that I took away from seeing these icons firsthand was the color. Color just can't be reproduced in photography and in books. The only way to really see these colors is to experience them in real life. So that was the best thing about seeing these great icons.
So I guess you have an excuse now to go back to Greece.
Yes, absolutely.
And where can, for people who are in the USA, where can they see some of your icons in churches? What was one of your most recent projects?
The best place to see my work is probably my website, which we'll give you the address later. Now, at this point, I have many panel icons and private commissions that are in homes, but I only have one church that I've painted, and that is my own parish, St. Mary's Antiochian Orthodox Church in Goshen, Indiana. In St. Mary's, I painted the ceiling blue, along with a lot of help from the other people in the church. We painted the ceiling a rich blue, and then we added stars on the ceiling. And then I painted a 5-foot Christ Pantocrator on the ceiling with angels around him, and then I painted Panagia Placitera above the altar. Some angels and a few other icons around the church. Now, I did most of this painting a year ago during the winter of 2013, and spent a lot of evenings and weekends up there when I wasn't teaching. And as I said before, a lot of people from the parish helped. My best friend, who's a Lombardarios at our church, Adrian Sharp, helped me a lot with the stars, along with some other teenagers from our church, and we had some other people that helped paint a really nice border. So we had a lot of help, but thank God it looks really nice, and you can see that on my website.
That sounds great. So you could say community-based iconography. As iconography requires you to be in a prayerful state of mind, do you see the world differently from before?
I definitely see the world differently, but it's hard for me to separate one reason why I might. I converted to Orthodoxy about 7 years ago, and I first began practicing and studying icon painting soon after my conversion. It was such an organic way for me to be involved. And so the same thing could be said about singing in church. So it's really hard to separate which element. And I really think just being in the church, being in the Ark of Salvation, partaking of the Eucharist, and the other mysteries have changed me considerably. You know, when I chant, our hymns are just pure theology. And so that has really affected me, too, to sing the hymns every week. And also painting the icons, it's really wonderful exercise because I'm spending time in prayer that I probably wouldn't otherwise. Even, you know, it's a prayer with a brush as opposed to a prayer with words. You know, when I'm painting, I'm spending hours in silence, literally face-to-face with Christ, Panagia, and the saints. And that's really about as prayerful as anything I can imagine. So as far as changes in my perception, I definitely see the world differently since I became Orthodox. While I have a very good life and I enjoy it, I see life primarily as a gift of time to work out our salvation. St. Eustemius said, "A tree frequently transplanted does not bear fruit. Whoever desires to do good can do it from the place where he is." Now, in the past 7 years, I've come to take that quite seriously. Salvation can happen anywhere, but the best place is simply where we are. Before becoming Orthodox, I guess I always imagined I would end up someplace more interesting, exotic, or exciting than Indiana. But I was blessed to get a job in my hometown right after college, and so I have really come to appreciate this place that my family has called home for almost a century. It is really great to live and work in this community with really deep roots, where everyone knows each other, as they always have. I especially appreciate this in the light of the virtue of stability, which St. Eustemius so perfectly described.
I'll say Indiana's pretty exotic. I watched the middle here in Australia.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good.
So how has Orthodoxy inspired your secular artworks? Do you find there are any conflicts with how you used to view art?
Well, before finding Orthodoxy, I really kind of struggled with an artistic voice. I was skilled, but all my art seemed kind of shallow. And I just felt sort of out of place trying to make art while trying to attach some sort of deeper meaning. In the modern era, art seems to mostly be created for its own sake, somewhat divorced from a context. And this is why I really love functional art like pottery or liturgical art like icon painting and chanting. All of these arts have a very authentic and specific meaning, purpose, function, and context. In these traditional art forms, I find myself involved in a tradition and continuing these much larger ancient artistic traditions. My own personal opinion is I would put this at opposition to a modern artist trying to do something entirely new, brand new, original, entirely by themselves, isolated from other contexts or functions or precedent. So I guess, as you can tell, I'm not a big fan of modernism.
As a government high school teacher, does your faith and its artistic creativity come through in the classroom?
It does in some ways. My students know that I paint icons, and often when I finish an icon, I'll bring it into class and show them my artwork, because I think as an art teacher, it's important to be a working artist, to be an example to my students and to inspire them. So mostly, students see my icons, they think it's really cool, I think it's like this really, you know, old-fashioned style of painting, and they really appreciate like the fine craftsmanship and the detail and the gold. They really like the gold, and they like the stylized abstraction. And, you know, the icons bring up some questions that are really good for discussion, such as how did they know what Jesus looked like? And so I can say things like, well, you know, Jesus was a historical person. He walked around. People saw him, and people painted him, like St. Luke.
And Brian, tell us a little bit about the icon workshops you have for students.
Yes, my workshops have been for students of all ages. At my last workshop, we had several teenage students, and we also had a painter who was in her 80s, and everywhere in between. I give students the icon first, so they can make their own drawing. Then on the first day, on a Thursday, we put the drawing on the board, apply the gold leaf, and then we start painting. And I teach all the steps along the way, along with some theology and some history. And by Sunday evening, all the students have a finished icon. So it is a really intense weekend, but it's a really good experience for everyone.
And for listeners interested in learning more about your work, where can they go online?
They can visit my website, and that's brianwerlich.com. That's BRIANWHIRLEDGE.com, where I have an extensive portfolio as well as contact information.
Well, Brian, thank you for joining us today on the show. God bless you and your work.
Thank you so much, Chris.
That was Brian Werlich, artist and iconographer. If you want to learn more about Orthodoxy, media, and the arts, visit the OFA blog at orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.